Amen. Thank you all for coming tonight. This is our pilot's night, and 2015 starting, and so it's an enjoyable time. It's a busy time for us, for the young people. They put a lot of work, a lot of effort. If you haven't already seen out in the foyer, they put a lot of time. There's a lot of talent. I can't believe every time this year rolls around how much work is put into those, and they put a lot of time. It was a joy as I sat up here in the choir, stood in the choir tonight to look across the auditorium and see those who participated years ago and now are serving. And that's the point of pilots. And so we are tonight, you'll see the different categories represented. Actually, there's one not there. It's called Christian Living. And that's the one that really we hope for our young people to strive for, is that their life will be something of a service for the Lord. And so that's what tonight represents. You'll notice that the choir will not have amplification. That is because that's what we will have during the pilots event. We have large ensembles on Wednesday night, and then Thursday morning will be the four choirs that we have, and then there's one band, and that's Thursday evening. So just so you know, they're nervous and excited at the same time. Now, tonight they may mess up or make a mistake, and Mrs. Thomason is quickly there to help them with some lines and parts, but they won't have anything during the time they walk into a room. They give their script to three judges, and those three judges then will judge independently. And depends each category that there are. It could be from 15 to 25 different entries into that event. So there's a lot of competition, and we do have a great time with it. We'll begin this evening. Starting out the program tonight is the senior trio, Cherith Angel, Rick Dela Cruz, and Bailey Smith singing The Cross of Christ.
The cross of Christ, it stands alone, the only way a soul finds home, no other way but God's own Son. The cross of Christ, it stands alone.
The cross of Christ shall be my way. It stands alone.
a little bit biased, but I think that's a first place right there for sure. New to Pilot, 7th grader Bethany Seaman will now perform her illustrated storytelling entitled Baby Moses.
Hey boys and girls, welcome to Sunday School class. Today we will be learning about baby Moses. Now, a long, long time ago in a kingdom far away, there was a place called Egypt. And in Egypt there were two types of people. There were the Egyptians and God's chosen people, the Israelites. Now, one day, the king of Egypt looked out over all his land. And he saw that there were way more Israelites than there were Egyptians. And he said, what would happen if they want to take over my kingdom? And so he said, put all the Israelites to work. And so all the Israelites were made to work for the Egyptians. And then, as time passed, the king looked out over his kingdom again. And he saw that there were still way more Israelites than there were Egyptians. And so he finally said, kill all the baby Israelite boys. But there was one mother who really did not want her son to be killed, and her name was Jochebed. So Jochebed and her husband Amram came up with a plan to save their little boy. First, they made a basket, and in this basket, they put this sticky substance called pitch inside it. So if the basket was put in water, it would float. So took their baby, put the in the basket, and went to the Nile River and placed the basket inside the river and let it float down. And just to make sure that the basket would stay safe, they made sure Miriam, their younger daughter, would stay and watch as the basket flowed down the river. Now, the basket kept floating and floating and floating down the river until it came to a certain place where the princess was. And the princess of all Egypt was there with her attendant washing up at the river. And she looked out into the river and said, look, there's a basket. I wonder what's inside it. And so she went to the side and opened up the basket, and there was the little baby. She's like, what a cute little baby. I want to keep it. And so she took it, and she said, I'll call in Moses, and I'll take care of him and everything. And Miriam came out of the bushes and said, Your Majesty, do you want me to find someone to take care of this baby for you? She said, yes, I would like that very much. And so, do you know who Miriam went and got? She went and got her mother, Jochebed. And Jochebed was able to take care of her son under the supervision of the princess. And so remember, boys and girls, have faith in God, and he will protect you and those you love.
Sorry, a few moving parts there we have to get ready through, so sorry about that. The academic categories include spelling, essay, poetry, and short story writing, math calculations for junior and senior high, and the history challenge. This year's written entries can be read out in the foyer. FEA's academic bowl team, hoping to repeat as champions, is Cherith Angel in English and Math, Jaquan Bibbs in Science and History, Rick Dela Cruz in Science and History, and Bailey Smith in English and Math. In order to be eligible for CAP, students must be involved in the ministries of their churches. These Christian living events include the bus ministry, the nursing home ministry, scripture memorization of 3 to 15 chapters, soul winning, and baptism. Eligible for CAP are Colt Adams, Cherith Angel, Rick Dela Cruz, Amber Hartline, Brianna Heyman, Natalie Nelson, Mindy Reardon, and Bailey Smith. Now reading their entries are Natalie Nelson in poetry writing, followed by Brianna Heyman in short story writing.
My poem is entitled Nature's Power. Listening to the humming bees working right beneath the trees, making honey for winter's freeze, their wings aflutter in the breeze. Hearing the black ravens call, fearing the warm summer stall, watching leaves begin to fall, summer is ending after all. Seeing red leaves land so softly, just as brown leaves land abruptly. The weather's changing not so subtly, snow is falling down now suddenly. Ice is melting everywhere, there's a freshness in the air, the wind is whipping in my hair, and warmth returns without a care. Butterflies and hummingbirds listen to winds whispering words and smell the pleasant scent of herbs, while in the meadows stand the herds. Seasons come and seasons go, a time to harvest and a time to sow. Sometimes grass and sometimes snow, each season lets his power show.
A change in luck. Life was against him. Of this he was certain. No matter where he went or what he did, life's heavy hand was constantly beating him down, determined to break his spirit. Many times he had almost given in, but Clancy Seawalt was no quitter. He was destined to be successful. He knew this without a doubt, and was determined to be just that. As he stood in line to board his waiting ship, he reflected on his latest bad string of luck. The round gold band in his suitcase, which had been recently thrown back to him, weighed down his heart as well as his conscience, knowing that he owed several payments on it just to have it sit unused. His landlord had threatened eviction just as he was packing this morning. The suit he wore was borrowed, since his own was in too poor a condition to last his journey. The loud whistle from the boat shrilled through the air, reminding him of the only good thing that had happened lately. Not a month before, out of all the hundreds of employees at Trickson Industries, his name had been pulled as the winner of an all-expenses-paid vacation, compliments of the company. Now the day of departure had arrived. As the line came to a standstill, he took a moment to glance around the harbor. The smell of the salty air tickled his nose as well as his memories of growing up on the seashore. He remembered the hours of running up and down the shores with best friend Charlie Durbin, countless seashell collections gathered by lively and lovely tide pools so clear he could stare down his homely features. Skinny. Eyes set too far apart. Square jawline. He reached up and rubbed that same square jawline, now fresh with stubble from his morning shave. Life had been so much simpler back then, so much kinder to him and his widowed mother. He could see the two of them in their old cottage that always had a leak. People from the little white church in the corner eventually took up an offering and fixed the roof for them. He remembered that quaint church with its hardback pews that made you sore, but he had never cared. He'd always been on the edge of his seat, listening to God's word being preached and longing to be closer to him. How many years? How many sleepless nights since he had darkened the door of that church, or any church for that matter? How long since he had peace within his troubled soul? The line started to move, and he awoke from his trip down memory lane. His eyes caught sight of a sailor walking past the line, casually carrying a knapsack. There was something familiar about his gait, his casualness. The boyish grin plastered on his face. Charlie? The sailor turned and caught his gaze, momentarily looking confused, but then breaking into a huge smile. Clancy! I can't believe this! How long has it been? He vigorously shook his hand. Too long, Clancy beamed. So you're a sailor now, huh? Yeah, Charlie shrugged. You know me. I've always loved the water. Are you working on this ship? Supposed to, but they gave me a leave since my wife just had her first son, Charlie joyfully announced. Congratulations, Clancy offered. Thanks. We're bringing him to church next Sunday for his first service. Charlie paused. You still go to church, Clance? Clancy shifted uneasily. Not for a long time. Well, why don't you come with us? Mary can make a nice meal afterwards. I don't think that God's for me, Charlie, Clancy replied coldly. Why do you say that? Charlie looked puzzled. You didn't used to think that. Because I've had nothing but struggles my whole life, always trying to keep my head above water. This suit isn't even my own. God just isn't really concerned with me. Charlie looked at him straightly. Why should he be, since you haven't been concerned with him for quite a while now? He paused. Maybe he's allowed all these hard times in your life to try to call you back to him. Clancy stopped. What Charlie had said made perfect sense. He had turned his back on God a long time ago, and had been miserable ever since. How many opportunities had God given him to repent, and each time he had resisted? He had said he wanted peace, yet he knew the ultimate source and had rejected him. Perhaps meeting Charlie here was another of God's way to try to draw him back. Why don't you come home with me and stay a while? We could discuss this a bit more in depth, Charlie kindly offered. The whistle blew again. Clancy looked from the ship to Charlie. No. He wanted to go with Charlie, but he wanted this vacation too, and he deserved it. He was not missing it for the world. He said goodbye to his dad and Charlie, but not before promising him that as soon as he got back, he would go to church with him. He wanted his life to change, to count for something, to count for God. The trip first and then God. Just this one last time he put God off, just for a little while. And then once he got things right with his God, he would work extra hard, find a better job, change his circumstances. He would be successful no matter what it took. As he made his way up the crowded walk to the huge ship's deck, he read the ship's name and chuckled to himself. Yes, sirree, Titanic. I have a gut feeling that one day, me and you will both make history.
Amber Hartline, Natalie Nelson, and Mindy Reardon are entering female trio singing Turn the Tide.
When America was founded, she was strong and pure and good. And their leaders on their knees were not ashamed to call on God. But our nation in her pride has turned her back upon the right. And the clouds of evil threaten to turn glory into night. Strong wickedness has crept in like a cold and bloody thief. Those who know the Lord and do His word stand by in disbelief. For the love of God and country, we must not cease for a day. For the future of our children, we must lift our hearts and pray. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. God's enemy is hard at work, undermining everywhere, breaking down foundations, twisting laws and setting snares. He would take away our freedom and replace it with despair. And he laughs at those opposing him as if they were not there. But God's children cannot sit by. We must stand up and defend. For the battle is not over till our King declares the end. We must work and fight and meet Him, not as those who beat the air. For the greatest weapon in our hands is strong and fervent prayer. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Of wickedness, restore, revive, and bless. never give up hope. We must not let them win the war. We must plead with Him who has the power to cleanse and to restore. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of Your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide.
And that's exactly what it's going to take, turning the tide. Arts and crafts include craftsmanship entries such as wood and metalworking, artistic entries like sketching, pen and ink, and painting, technological entries such as graphic design and photography, and practical arts such as sewing and baking. If you have entered an arts and crafts category, please stand. About all of them. That is, yes. The students have spent many hours on their projects, and as said earlier, they are available in the foyer for viewing after the service. Taking place out in the West Field each year is the archery event. This was added to Pilots when we started because so many of the pastors of the schools involved are hunters, and it was thought this was one way that we could get our young men that they could develop some of those same skills. Entering archery this year are Jaquan Bibbs, Colin Hanley, Zach Johnson, and Alberto Rodriguez. They can stand. You guys can stand. Here's a short video showing the practice that takes place before convention.
Hello and welcome to our archery competition for Pilots 2015. We'll be showing you the next three contestants. The first contestant will be Jaquan Bibbs. Jaquan, what do you think your odds are at winning this competition?
Good.
The next contestant is Alberto Rodriguez.
Hola.
Alberto, what do you think your chances are winning?
Pretty good.
And our third contestant, Colin Hanley. Colin, what do you think your chances are of our winning? First contestant is Jaquan again. He is up at 10 yards. They have to shoot at 10, 20, and 30. Jaquan just a little low. Good shot. They have three arrows from each spot, 10 yards away. Like it was a bullseye. Third arrow for Jaquan. Three excellent shots. Our second contestant, Alberto Rodriguez, will be shooting at 10 yards. All right, just in the blue, there's a points system for bullseye, red, blue, and black. They get points at the end of each yardage. They get a tally of the total amount of points, and the total amount wins. That one just missed a little left. We'll see his third shot shortly. Roberto's his third and final shot. Oh, let it go a little early. So here are the results of one didn't quite make it. The other was a little outside, but did put one on the paper. The third and final shooter today is Colin Hanley. Colin lined it up. third shot is in the blue, or maybe just at the red. Good job, Colin. Well, folks, this concludes our archery demonstration for Pilots 2015. Based on what I just saw, we've got this competition won.
I will have to say, we started or tried to try that two other days, and it was even windier than that. And since then, we've shot a couple other times, but two of those fellows have never shot before, so we've got a little bit of work to go before Pilots, but it's a good start anyway. The music category consists of vocal and instrumental entries ranging from solos to large groups. If you are entering a vocal event other than choir, please stand. Be seated. This year, there are also some students participating in instrumental events such as guitar and piano. If you are entering an instrumental event, please stand. In the category of puppets, Jaquan Bibbs and Rick Dela Cruz are performing False Prophets.
Under. Close enough. I don't know.
You good?
Dude, you're supposed to go under it.
It's all hopeful.
1 minute.
Hey, hello.
May I help you?
Yeah. Are you the manager of this TV station?
Yes, I am.
Good. Then you can announce me. I'm here.
And who might you be?
You don't recognize me?
No.
I'm him.
Him?
Yeah, him. The Messiah, silly.
Duh. You are the Messiah.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says that when the Messiah arrives, he will arrive the same way he departed.
Yeah, so?
So, how did you get into this building?
Wait, did you see me come in?
No.
Okay. All right, well, then I came down from heaven and I landed on the roof? Because I think I did.
Get that line. Line. Oh, then who saw you arrive?
No one. I snuck in to avoid the autograph hounds. You know how it is when you're famous?
But the Messiah said he had several witnesses when he arrived.
So?
So, how did you... So the Messiah is
just going well.
Fine. He promised that when he descended, he will have several witnesses.
Yeah.
So.
I think I messed that up. Okay. Yeah, that. I remember that now. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that.
Well, I'm the Messiah, which means I can do whatever I want, which includes breaking a promise.
funny. Jesus never broke a single one of his promises.
Like I said before, I'm the Messiah. So, can you just break into this program and announce me now?
You want me to break into a network feed?
Yeah, you know. Boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop, boop. We interrupt this broadcast for an important news bulletin.
So, which camera do I stand in front of?
Look, fella, I don't know who you are,
Bella,
but...
Bella, is that any way to address the Son of God?
How do I really know you are the Son of God? So far, all I know is you broke your promise.
Fine. You want proof? Go ahead. Ask me how old I am.
All right. How old are you?
I'm older than the hills.
I'm not impressed.
I'm telling you, I'm the one who created the earth. Why, I knew the Mississippi River when it was just a creek. I knew the great Himalaya Mountains when they were just foothills. Hey, guess what the Mediterranean pond turned out to be?
I'm still not impressed.
Hey, you remember the Great Sahara Forest?
You mean the Sahara is a desert?
Yeah, now!
Look, how do I know you're telling the truth?
Because I not only created the Earth, I created the entire universe. You know the Milky Way?
The Milky Way galaxy?
Yeah, I remember when it was much thicker. I called it the Creamy Way.
That doesn't prove any...
Okay, how about this? How about you break into this program and announce my arrival, and I'll spare you from the Lake of Fire.
I happen to know I'm not going to the Lake of Fire.
Come on! Let me prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt who I am. Let me write on your wall with my finger like I did for Joshua.
That was Daniel.
Whatever! Just put me in front of a camera. It'll only take a minute!
Stroke the beard. Line. The Bible warns us on end times, people will claim to be the Messiah.
I'm the Messiah! Carl! Get back in the van!
Okay. I think you guys are fakes.
Okay, now you've gone and made me mad. And just for that, when I take my flock home to heaven, you're going to get left behind.
Well, Jesus said that no one could snatch me out of his hand.
He said that? Or I said that?
Yep.
Fine. You get to come too. You got a riding coach.
The first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Why do you keep quoting the Bible?
All scripture is given by inspiration of God for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, in righteousness.
Is that another Bible verse?
You ought to know. You wrote it.
Oh, yeah. See, the reason I forgot was... I was doing two things at once, and I was flooding the earth after Abraham built the ark.
That was Noah.
Yeah, Noah. I meant Noah.
Just get out. Leave.
That was back when the Black Sea was just a light gray.
Just get out. Leave.
I'm the Messiah! Carl, he already knows! Get back in the van!
Okay. Worst publicity stunt ever.
Now making their way to the piano are Madison Maxwell and Mindy Reardon performing their piano duet entry, A New Name Written Down in Glory. And now performing their dramatic dialogue entitled Mediocre, our sisters Delilah and Sierra Pixley.
Where are you going?
Going? Where am I going?
That is what I asked. Where are you going?
To the church. Yeah, that's it. That's where I was going.
That the church just happens to be the other way.
Oh, well, what I meant was I was coming back from the church. Yeah, that's it. I was reporting back to you.
What a coincidence. I was just coming to check up on you.
Well, here I am.
So, how are things going at the church?
The church?
Yes, you know, your assignment, the church.
Oh, you want to know how things are going.
Yes.
Fine, everything is just fine, boss.
Isn't that odd? That is not what I've been hearing.
Listen, I can explain.
The church is still going strong. The people there are still making a difference in the world. If you're a demon, that doesn't sound fine to me.
Listen, boss, I tried everything. I tried the leaky roof strategy. I tried the boiler malfunction strategy. I even tried harassing the city inspectors.
And?
And nothing works, boss. Nothing. The church keeps on doing good works. I can't even slow them down.
So what you're saying is the church is a success?
Yeah.
Do you know what that makes you?
Yeah.
What?
It makes me a failure, boss.
And do you know what happens to demons that fail?
Please, boss, I've tried everything. I just need the right strategy to shut down that church.
Listen, kid, the purpose of a demon is not to shut down Christian ministries.
It isn't?
Absolutely not!
But you said...
I said the job of a demon is to render Christian ministries ineffective.
Isn't that the same thing?
Absolutely not.
I don't get it.
Obviously.
Wait, please, boss. Don't send me into oblivion. I could do it. I'm a good demon. I need the right strategy. That's it. Tell me how to shut down that church.
I already told you. Your job is not to shut them down. Your job is to render them ineffective.
All right. How do I render them ineffective?
What is the opposite of success?
The opposite of success is failure.
How many times do I have to tell you the opposite of success is mediocrity?
Oh, yeah. I remember now. But I have one more question.
All right.
How come the opposite of success isn't failure?
Because you're up against a church. What happens if the church fails?
Oh, it shuts down. It goes out of business.
And? And then Christians look around and say to themselves, hey, this neighborhood needs a church. And?
They start a church.
And what does another church mean for us?
We have another fight in our hands, boss.
Would you like to spend the next 2,000 years fighting one church after another?
Well, no.
So rather than create a void by closing them down, we make sure the existing church survives, but...
We render ineffective. Hey, that's clever. An ineffective church is worse than no church at all.
Now you're getting it. We get the people to settle for something that looks just like a church, but really it's a place where they go to waste their time and energy.
Oh, I get it. But I have one more question.
All right.
How do we do that?
We get the people in the church to spend lots and lots of time and energy doing things that make no difference in eternity, like building taller steeple or debating over the color of the carpet.
Oh, I get it. We get them planning pancake breakfast for themselves, so they don't realize that the homeless people don't have anything to eat. I'll get them fighting over who gets to do the most work, that sooner or later, nobody will be doing anything worthwhile.
Now you're talking like a demon.
I'll get them fighting over who gets to be the deacon of the church, so the people don't remember that the deacon's job is to serve others.
You got to know. Go get them.
Our new motto is excellence is mediocrity.
Sometimes too true. So glad we heard a church starting here this morning. It was a blessing. Platform events such as monologues, dialogues, speeches, preaching, illustrated stories, and many more teach the students public speaking skills that will help them take positions as Sunday school teachers, bus captains, and junior church workers someday. If you are in a platform category, please stand. And all of them are in that. Singing about the cross in the female trio category are Nellie Romero, Bailey Smith, and Lauren Smith.
If I only had one song that I could sing you, your story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one question I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood. I could sing about the state of grace I live in, or the peace and joy I have when times are tough. I can talk of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross.
Rounding out the platform events tonight is Amber Hartline reciting The Last Bus Ride.
I had the strangest dream last Eve. It lasted all night through. I took off on a heavenly flight and pierced the sky of blue. Up in the northern atmosphere, just past the edge of space, the lights of heaven guided me into my landing place. I landed to the shouts of others who were gathered there. A white-robed man came toward me. He was gliding through the air. You better hurry up, my friend. You're almost overdue. Your bus is ready. All filled up. They're waiting just for you. Then as he took my hand, I felt him lift me off my feet. We moved along pure diamond walls and above a golden street. Hold on, man. Just tell me this. Who's waiting just for me? And what about this filled-up bus you're taking me to see? The man just turned and looked at me and chuckled right out loud. He turned loose of my hand. And then he vanished through a cloud. I looked for him and called for him, was just about to fuss. And suddenly, the cloud was gone, and then I saw the bus. Human hands could never build a bus like what I saw. I stood there for a moment with my eyes all filled with awe. Solid silver through and through, with fenders of pure gold, diamonds for headlights, and sapphire signals flashing bold. The windows were pure jasper, the mirrors emerald blue. The wheels were made of opals that were always changing hue. And as I looked at this great bus, as it before me stood, I saw my name inscribed on it, across the silver hood. I heard a noise and turned around. The noise was getting near. The sound of children's voices was now ringing in my ear. And as I turned back toward the bus, I saw them as they came. They smiled and touched me with their hands, and each one knew my name. We walked up quickly to the bus as each one got on board. The last one smiled and said to me, "Let's go and meet the Lord. He's got our supper ready, and it's going to be a feast. And we've been waiting just for you, the oldest, to the least. I stepped into the bus and looked into the children's eyes, and they said to me, "Why are you shocked? Did you not realize? The bus you drove for all those years has long since turned to rust, but the souls it carried to the Lord live on in us. 'Twas you who took us to meet the Lord when we were on the earth. Because you taught us, trust the Lord, we had our second birth. So now it's only right that you should take us on, you see, to enter into our Lord's reward for all eternity." Sometimes you got discouraged, and your heart was full of fear. But you still kept on coming for our souls that you held dear. You brought us shoes and bubblegum, and oftentimes you shared your time and all your talents when no one even cared. When it was hot in summer, you put bus windows down. And when the winter came cold, you brought your warmth around. You laughed at us and cried for us and never failed to pray. It's because you took the time that we're here with you today. It's our last bus ride together, though it's different than before. We'll never be without again. No tears forevermore. So shift your gears just one last time and take us to the Lord. You sacrificed so faithfully. Let's go get your reward. I thought about the days on earth as I looked into their faces. And then it all came back to me. The dates, the names, the places. I slipped behind the steering wheel, and as I turned the key, the voices of 1,000 kids sang out in harmony. The bus moved forward slowly with a ride as smooth as glass. We rode upon the streets of gold as angels watched us pass. The singing of the children was so beautiful, it seemed, but more so when I realized it was the song of the redeemed. I looked into the mirror, and I saw a wondrous sight. A million buses, just like mine, were merging left and right. And every bus was filled with souls who sang redemption song. My heart was filled with joy and love, and then I sang along. We drove into a parking lot close to the feasting place. And there And when I looked, I saw a bus fill every parking space. We left our bus and walked up to the giant banquet hall. And there we joined the saints of God, both the great and small. Then at the huge head table, Jesus took his place. I saw the nail scars in his hands as love shone from his face. He blessed the food and broke the bread and passed it all around. And all were filled until the time for each to get his crown. Each one must call forward. Jesus knew each one by name. He rewarded every captain, every driver as they came. He placed a crown on every head and spoke to every one. And all the angels praised the Lord each time he said, "Well done." I looked out toward the parking lot as wide as any sea. The silver tops of every bus looked beautiful to me. I reached up and I touched the crown that Jesus had placed there. I knew then it was all worthwhile, the time, the work, the prayer. And now the feast is over and all rewards complete, as millions standing side by side cast all crowns at his feet. And now I am awakened with a warmth of joy and love because I took a bus ride that was sent from above. Because the earth is full of sin, sorrow, grief, and pain, somewhere a bus is coming through the sunshine and the rain. To gather souls for Jesus is their purpose, and it's true. As long as we are here on earth, help us bless them, Lord, for you.
Amen.
camera there. There's one up here. All right, very good. Thank you, young people. I enjoyed that tonight. I appreciate it. Let me ask you to turn your Bible to John 13, and I have just a quick thought for you tonight before we head home. I appreciate the work, the effort that has gone into the program, and I know there's much more that has been put into different events that we don't see. As Brother Bragg mentioned, a lot of things are in the foyer. I hope that you'll take a moment to look at some of the drawings and so forth. And I just want to say, God bless you. It was very, very well done. I would encourage you, Alberto, when you get married, be sure and give your wife lots of grocery money. And that would be a good thing to do. Amen. And the guys doing the puppets, you need to keep your day job. So that was it. Yeah. And then, ladies, the memorization was incredible. And that last bus ride poem was tremendous, Amber. Thank you for that and all that was done tonight. Now, I want you to look with me at John 13. And verse number 12, so after he had washed their feet, this is Christ, had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye not what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, this was a part of the same week that I preached about this morning and last Sunday morning. This event took place during that last week in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was time to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Jesus sent the disciples into the city and he said, you're going to see a man who's carrying a pitcher of water. And when you find him, you tell him that the Master is ready to eat the supper with his disciples. And he's going to show you to an upper room that's furnished for our supper, the beginning of the Unleavened Feast. And the Unleavened Bread Feast. And so that's exactly what they did. They went into town and they found this man with a pitcher of water. And they said, the Master is ready to use the room. And he showed them to the guest room that was furnished for their meal. Furnished, I suppose, with food and drink that would be consumed. Furnished with the customary bowl and towel and pitcher of water that would be used to wash the feet. Furnished with all that they needed for the supper, except for a servant. And so they obviously had gone into the room, they had dined with Jesus, the supper was over, and yet no one had arrived to wash their feet. The man who gave them the room to use didn't feel obligated to have a servant there because he was loaning them the room. And I can see them begin to whisper among themselves, where's the servant? Who is going to wash our feet? Maybe Matthew leaned over to Philip and said something like, hey bud, don't hold your breath if you think I'm going to do that. And Philip laughingly replied, hey, me neither. I am nobody's servant. Now I want you to wonder what you think might have happened in their mind when they watched Jesus Christ stand up, walk over, pick up the pitcher of water, pour the contents of the pitcher into the bowl, throw the towel over his arm, approach one of the disciples, and begin to wash their feet. And remember when he came to Peter, Peter argued with him. He won't go into that. No, you're not going to wash my feet. But after Jesus told him what it was all about, Peter did 180 and said, Lord, don't wash my feet only. Wash my head, my hands, my whole body. Jesus knelt there and he washed the feet of all those disciples, dried them with the towel, and then he said to them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you understand what I have just done? And then he said, being Master and Lord does not exempt me from being a servant. Even though I am Master and Lord, you call me Master and Lord, and you rightly call me that, But being master and Lord does not exempt me from being a servant. And he told them, I want you to follow in my footsteps because I have given you an example. No matter what you do in life, no matter what position you may be given, no matter what title you may earn or what level up the chain of command you land on, you are never exempt from serving your brother. Never exempt from serving your brother. And I believe specifically here, Jesus was speaking about service to other Christians because he said to them, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And that he did that as an example. That means as a child of God, no matter our vocation, no matter our occupation, all of us should find a place of service to our fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. No matter what we do in life. That's what Pilate emphasizes. It's what these young people are hopefully being trained to do. That no matter what they do in life, no matter what vocation or occupation they find themselves in someday, there will always be that part of them that takes occasion to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm not going into great detail tonight, but I believe Jesus is referring to service for others within the local church. I believe Jesus Christ started a church, and I believe these men, all of them but Judas Iscariot, would be involved in the day of Pentecost. They would be involved in that great first church there in the city of Jerusalem, and all 11 of them would find a place in the body of believers where they could serve their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, where they could wash each other's feet. Now, folks, I submit to us tonight, and this is my thought, that this is not just some story that is recorded in the gospel. This is not just another event in the life of Jesus Christ. There's something more here. This is something Jesus did and the Holy Spirit preserved in writing so that future generations of God's people would read this and learn no one graduates to any kind of position or embraces any kind of title that exempts them from serving their fellow Christians. Serving their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is exactly what these young people are encouraged to do. Through these illustrated storytellings and through music and through playing piano and through puppet shows and junior church and those type of things, these young people are encouraged to know no matter what they do in life, no matter where they land, in whatever occupation they're involved in for their living, for their income, there will be a place for them to serve other Christians in the local assembly where they belong and attend. Now, a couple thoughts tonight and we're done. Number one, this act of serving others was hands-on. Jesus' hands held the disciples' feet. He was there in person to wash and dry the feet of these men. He wasn't secluded in the background sending somebody else to do it for Him. He didn't make it possible for someone else to wash the disciples' feet by paying for it to be done. No. He took off His outer garments. He picked up the pitcher. He poured the water into the bowl. He took the towel and put it over His arm. He picked up the bowl and He knelt and He held the disciples' feet and He washed those feet and He took the towel and dried their feet. Hands-on, personal touch, personally involved. And Jesus then said, I've given you an example. This is what I want you to do. And I'll go to my grave, people, believing that God's people should belong to an assembly of believers. And within that assembly, God's people should do more than just belong there. They should serve there. Find a place of service. I want to tell you what, friend. We have too many that are like the nobles of the Tekoites in Nehemiah's day. When they were rebuilding the wall, putting that wall back up around the city of Jerusalem, the Bible says those nobles did not put their necks to the work of the Lord. I want to tell you something. When you get too important to do something around a local church for your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're too important. Nobody reaches that place. Nobody's been saved so long. Nobody has accomplished so much that they're above being a servant. That's what Jesus said. He said, I'm the Lord, I'm the Master, I'm the Lord of all lords, I'm the Master of all masters. And if the Lord of all lords and the Master of all masters has never graduated beyond the place of service, then you certainly won't either. And that's the honest truth, friend. And we need to keep it. That's why we encourage these young people. This is not just a game. I know how it's approached by some. Oh, brother, and other pilots. And we've had it referred to by folks who've graduated from school and said, you know, I endured pilots. I'm a pilot survivor. To them, it was just a game. It was an activity that we went through every spring of the year. But I will tell you what, to some others, they caught it. They caught it. And they got the idea that, you know what, no matter what I'm doing in life, there will always be an opportunity for me to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ at the local New Testament church. And they are teaching Sunday school, and they are singing, and they are running bus routes, and they are helping and doing things around the local New Testament church. And that's the example that Jesus gave all of us in John chapter 13. And I'm thankful that for our young people, there are many wonderful models of servants here at Faith Baptist Church. Wonderful servants of God. Let me ask you, what are you doing for your fellow brother and sister in Christ? Oh, I know your presence in a church service is encouraging. Jesus, the Bible talks about that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, how that we are to provoke one another to good works. And one of the best ways to do that is just to be faithful to the services. But beyond sitting in the pew, how are you following Christ's example? Where are you following Christ's example? Where is your place of service? Where is your washing the other folks' feet? Where are you serving the Lord? What are you doing to serve Him? Are you leaving a good example for your children and for the young people of Faith Baptist Church to follow in? And so many in this church ministry are, and I appreciate it so very much. But the truth of the matter is, friend, that this act of service was hands-on. It was personal. And Jesus Christ took care of this Himself. And then let me say quickly tonight, number two, this act of serving others brings happiness. That's what He said in verse number 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. By the way, I think it's interesting the wording of that verse. He didn't say, if you know these things, happy are you. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. Serving others will bring you manifold happiness because that's what Jesus said. Now, truth of the matter is, it's still against our human nature to believe this. Because the human impulse is to make ourselves happy. But friend, that is not the way to find happiness. And you can take the little statement, serving others is the way to happiness. And the person's name that you can put at the end of that. You know how sometimes we quote people who are, we're historians or whatever, and we'll say, brother so-and-so said. Well, you can take that little statement, serving others is the way to happiness. And you know the person's name that you can put at the end of that statement? Is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. He made that statement. So many in all areas of life seek for happiness by trying to get it. Trying to get it. Some have learned that the way to gain happiness is by trying to give it. And that's what Jesus said. He said, if you'll follow in my example, you know what to do and you do it, you will be happy. What you young people do in your training and your participation and your preparation for pilots is not just a game. It's not just an event that we have every 12 months. It's something that if you will pursue the rest of your life, you will find much happiness. And you'll be following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. You owe that to Him. You don't owe that to any pastor. You don't owe that to any founding fathers of a church, but you owe it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy of our service. Thank you for what you did tonight, young people. I trust that you'll live for the Lord and be involved in Christian service somehow the rest of your life. Let's stand tonight, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father in heaven, I rejoice every year at this time to see the talent displayed on this platform is amazing. The singing talent, the music talent, the talent, Lord, to draw, the talent to stand in front of a group of kids and teach a little story, the talent to memorize and recite stories and poems. It's amazing to me. You have given great potential and placed that potential within the assembly of a local New Testament church. And I pray, dear God, that some of these young people will be as others who've gone before them and buy into this truth that serving is the way to happiness. Following in the example of Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that many adults will continue on to model that type life for other young people who will come up through the ranks here at our church. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming to die for us. Thank You for shedding Your blood. You are certainly worthy of our service to You. And to serve others is the way to serve You. Help us, I pray, at this church. May we not be as the skit we saw tonight with the Pixley sisters. May we not be, Lord, ineffective through mediocrity. Bless our service for You. In power, I pray in Jesus' name.